Good to have you with us this morning. Another first day of the week. Not quite as beautiful of a morning as we've had the last few weeks, but a good morning nonetheless. Got a Christmas present last year. I like Kentucky, University of Kentucky, and so I got a UK tie, and I hadn't worn it yet. And I thought, what better time to break this out than after a 63-3 game? So I don't see Brad this morning, but I figured he'd get a kick out of that after what Alabama did yesterday. But in good times and bad, right? If you're going to be a fan, you got to be a fan, I suppose. I appreciate you being here today. Our lesson this morning is one that's normally a pretty easy lesson, right? It's that time of the year when it's Thanksgiving, it's the holidays, it's November. A lot of you I've noticed on Facebook doing the 30 days of thankfulness, start on November the 1st, and every day you put something you're thankful for. Usually pretty easy, right? I mean, you can go through a month and put something every day that you're thankful for, and around the holiday time, spending time with your family and your friends and the food and the gathering and the activities, and it's a good boost to the spirit. It's medically proven. This time of the year, the days get shorter. We fell back. I don't guess it was a record early fall back, but it felt like it. We fell back before the end of October even. It gets darker quicker. People begin to get a little bit depressed, right? The mood's not what it typically is. And then this year, there's something going on worldwide. I'm not sure if you've heard about it or not, but there's more added to that. There's more stress, and there's more sorrow, and there's more sadness. And so this year, the lesson's a little bit more difficult, at least for me anyway. Number one, to be thankful. But number two, in the focus of our lesson today, being able to put our thankfulness into action. Talk is cheap, you might have heard said. You might have told your children before, you say that you understand. What's the rest of that one, parents? Now show me that you understand. Wives, you might have told your husbands, you said that you love me. What's the rest of that one? Now show me that you love me. It's one thing to say the words. It's one thing to say that I'm thankful. It's one thing to say that we're grateful for the things we have in our lives. But it's another to put our thankfulness into action. You've heard the other sayings, a picture is worth 1,000 words. Actions speak louder than words. Words alone are not real valuable in the world today. Anyone can absolutely say anything. So church, as Christians, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge myself. Let's put our thankfulness into action. So how do we do that? It's a great question. Let's look at our outline and let's see what the Bible says about that this morning. Number one, let's put our thankfulness into action by giving God the glory. By giving God the glory. Again, you say, well, Michael, that's just words. That's just putting words and not doing anything actively. No, I'm not talking about just making the statement, right? Saw it in the NBA had the draft the other night, and every one of the players, when they got interviewed, I just want to give God all the glory. Okay, it's great. Say that. But now do that, right? So how do we put that into action? Well, Josh and I, the past week, studied from John chapter 11. If you got your Bibles, turn there this morning. In John chapter 11, and we'll see from Scripture that some things in our lives take place to give us the opportunity to glorify God. Now, have you thought about that? Some things happen in our lives to give us the opportunity to glorify God, but we don't always see it that way, do we? In John chapter 11 and verse 3, we find Lazarus has fallen ill, and the messenger comes and tells Jesus. Matter of fact, in verse 3, the sister sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, watch it here, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. And of course, you remember what takes place. Lazarus passes away, and the Lord goes, and he gets there, and he finds him 4 days in the tomb, and he raises him from the dead, and he does it by giving thanks to God. He does it by asking God for the power to raise him from the grave, and we see that glory is brought to God through that. His actions glorify God. But how do we do that? You and I aren't going to be able to go out and raise anyone from the dead, are we? We can't do that. Those type of miracles have ceased. That power has ceased. That was the Son of God. You and I can't do that. So Michael, I appreciate letter A, but how am I going to do that? Well, Let's go to Scripture. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. We've been studying the Beatitudes. We've been studying the Sermon on the Mount. According to Matthew chapter 5, you and I can do that by our good works. By our good works. I think that's scriptural to say. Well, we're not saved by our works. Well, I didn't say that. But we can glorify God by our works. Right? Matthew 5 and verse 14, you're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp, put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. These sacks of groceries over here this morning, that's an example of your good works being seen by men and then giving glory to your Father in heaven. These aren't delivered individually from any one of us. These are delivered from the Seven Oaks congregation for what purpose? To give glory and honor to God. And the people that receive those are able to see our thankfulness in our sharing and helping with others. You go back to our scripture this morning, verses 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Christians don't live for themselves, but rather we should live for God. I can't help but think that one of the positives from the virus and from everything that's going on right now is, even though I'm always a big fan of it, I don't think we'll have quite as many arrests on Black Friday this year. I remember one of the first years I was at Walmart, and I wanted to go and be a part of it and see what the big fuss was, and they had bath towels on sale for a dollar. I have no idea what a bath towel goes for, apparently quite a bit more than a dollar. There were three ladies that got drug off in handcuffs down aisle three. I hope it wasn't none of y'all. I don't remember who they were. But drug off in handcuffs down aisle three fighting over some bath towels. And I made the mistake. The lady behind me was pushing and shoving, trying to grab one. And I reached to get it to hand it to her. And she shoved me out of the way. I was trying to hand that to you. Well, you know, Black Friday doesn't really bring out the best in Christians. Maybe there won't be quite as many arrests this year. But you and I need to be different from the rest of the world. So that's number one, give God the glory. Number two, don't be overly negative or critical. Don't be overly negative or critical. Now, there's a key word in that sentence, in my opinion, and it's the word overly. It's the word overly. There's some days you don't feel good. I don't think God wants you to lie, right? There's some days where there is something wrong with that. I don't think God wants you to lie. Now, husbands, don't go home and get in trouble with that one. But don't be overly negative or critical. Does that make sense? If there's something that there's something that's praiseworthy, there's something that's good in it. Well, what does Philippians 4:8 say? Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy. Now, Paul here says to meditate on these things. I think it's scriptural to insert the word instead of meditate. Talk about these things. Speak about these things. There's something here that we can look at and I can find five things wrong with it. I've got that right. I can do that if I want to. But is there something praiseworthy that I can find instead? They called it a compliment sandwich in pharmacy school. A lot of times my compliment sandwich didn't have a lot of bread. It was mostly the negative in the middle. But you start with a compliment, then you insert the criticism, and then you end it with another compliment. A lot of mine, like I said, didn't have much bread. A lot of the criticism there in the middle. Find something positive to say. Isn't that putting your thankfulness into action? Well, I wish we had the, okay, that's fine. You wished you had that, but what do you have? Well, I've got all these things. Well, then let's focus and let's be positive about the things that we do have. See how that's putting your thankfulness into action? Now, there's times that you can be negative. It is, well, it was raining this morning. If you were planning on doing something outside, I mean, it's raining, and that's a negative. And I'm disappointed that it's raining. We were planning on finishing putting up Christmas lights this afternoon. If it's raining when I go home this afternoon, I can't do that. And so that's going to be a little bit negative. But don't be overly negative. At least it was pretty yesterday. At least maybe it's going to be pretty next week. There's farmers that want the rain, don't want the rain. Don't be overly negative and critical. It's number two. Number three this morning, if you and I are going to put our thankfulness into action, and I've got it in quotation marks here, we're going to sin no more. We're going to sin no more. That doesn't mean be perfect. That means, and I put out next to it, that we must change our life. We must change our life. If you've got your Bibles open still, go back to John chapter 8. Go back to John chapter 8, and it's the passage here about the woman that was caught in adultery. And sin no more is in quotation marks because that's taken directly from Scripture, directly from the words of our Lord and Savior. And what he tells this woman that was caught in adultery. We say we're thankful for Christ and His sacrifice. We say we're thankful for His death on the cross. We say that we want to live our lives pleasing to Him. Then let's put that thankfulness into action. Letter A there, show your thankfulness to God by changing your old life. Let's read in verse 2 of John chapter 8. Now early in the morning He came again into the temple, and all the people came to Him, and He sat down and taught them. And then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to Him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to Him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded that such should be stoned. But what do you say?" The lady deserved death, right? I mean, she was caught in the very act of adultery. That's what the law said. The law of Moses said that they should be put to death. That's what they had every right to do. They could have stoned her and killed her. Under the law, she didn't deserve to live. But if we keep reading in verse 6, that's not what Jesus said. The Pharisees asked Him, He said, "The law said to put her to death. What do you say we should do with this woman?" And in verse 6, Jesus stooped down and He wrote on the ground with His finger as though He did not hear. And so when they continued asking Him, He raised Himself up and He said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." And again He stooped down and wrote on the ground. Some debate about what He wrote. Maybe He started writing the sins that they were guilty of. Maybe He started writing some other scripture. It's not reported for us, so apparently it's not significant. But He went back and gave them time to ponder what He had said. And in verse 9, those that heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus raised Himself up and saw no one but the woman, He said to her, "Woman, where are the accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" And she said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you," period. And that's the end of the chapter. Is that what it says in your Bibles? Because church, that's the way the world reads this encounter. The world will go to this very passage and say, look, Jesus forgives everybody. Take the example of the woman caught in adultery. The Lord didn't stone her. The Lord didn't kill her. The Lord didn't condemn her. The Lord instead told the people that were telling her that she was sinning to leave her alone. That's what the Lord did. And so don't tell me that I need to go to church. Don't tell me that I need to straighten up my life. Don't tell me that what I'm doing is wrong. The Lord told this woman that He didn't condemn her. And so you need to get off my back. But church, there's not a period and an end of the chapter in my Bible. I've got the ESV version. I've got the New King James at home, the Old King James at home, the NIV, the whatever version you want to find. I don't find a period and an end of the chapter. I find one last part of that sentence where the Lord told her, go, what? And sin no more. I don't condemn you because that's not my purpose right now. I don't condemn you because I've came to this world to try to save you, but you've got to change your life. You can't keep doing what you're doing. These men were trying to accuse you, rightfully so, because they wanted to make themselves feel better. They need to go and sin no more also. But our Lord didn't give this woman a free pass, church. Do y'all see that? He told her to change her life. So Roman numeral 3, if we want to put our thankfulness into action, we've got to sin no more. We've got to change our lives. We've got to show our thankfulness to God by changing our own life. There's 4 points to take from that passage in my mind that I want to bring our attention to. Number 1, to the self-righteous Pharisees, and perhaps to to me and you. We need to realize that we're not perfect. We're not perfect either. So what does that mean? Does that mean we need to quit trying? No. What does that mean? We need to quit trying to help our brothers and sisters in Christ that are struggling with sin? No. But it means we don't need to do it like this. We need to do it more like this. Come here. I love you. Come here. I love you. But let's talk about something. Come here. I care about you, and that's why I want to talk to you about that. I've been struggling with some things myself, but I've noticed, and if I've noticed, other people have noticed. Can we have a discussion about this? Do you see the difference in the two? These Pharisees that brought the woman before the Lord weren't trying to help. They weren't trying to help her. They wanted to put her to death. What's your purpose for going to someone else about sin in their life? If you're trying to make yourself feel better or to make that person feel bad, you're doing it wrong. But if you're trying to encourage the individual and get their life back on the right track for the Lord, in my opinion, you're doing what God has told us to do. But we need to realize, number one, that we're not perfect either. Number two, Jesus' purpose was not to condemn the world, but to save the Lord. And if I am a Christian, a follower of Christ, then my goal in this life should be to try to do the same things that my Lord did. He didn't come to condemn the world, so why should I? Why should I try to go around condemning the world? He came to save the world, and I want to be an extension of Him, a follower of Him. Then I, too, need to be trying to help bring others to Christ. John chapter 3 and verse 17, God didn't send His world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. So you and I need to echo that purpose to show our thankfulness. And number three, and I already said this earlier, but we cannot continue in sin. We must not, we cannot continue in sin. Romans chapter 6 and verse 1, the Romans were a little bit confused with what Paul was teaching about grace and mercy. And they said, well, if a little bit of grace is good and we get grace when we've sinned, then we should sin a whole bunch and we should get a whole lot of grace. And Paul said, No, certainly not. You shouldn't continue in sin. So if we're going to show that we're thankful, we can't continue in sin. It's like the child that slams the door. And you fuss at him. You say, don't slam the door. And they say, okay, Dad. And they go right back outside. And what happens to the door? The door slams again. Well, we didn't understand that. Come here. Let's talk about it again. Church, we can't do that. We can't do that as Christians. We can't come here and sing, oh, how I love Jesus. And we can't come here and sing, I love to tell the story. And we can't come here and sing songs about changing our life and a broken heart. And we're going to do better. And then we go right out the doors to go back out into the world. And we're right back into sin. We're living a double life. That's not right. We can't do that. If we're going to say we're thankful for Christ for the opportunity to live a new life, then we've got to put that thankfulness into action. Number four, I think from this passage here in John, I think we can see that the Lord offers us the same hope today that He offered even to the woman that was caught in adultery. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 says that the Lord's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So if we're going to sin no more, letter A, show your thankfulness by changing your old life. But then letter B is just as important. Show your thankfulness to God by starting a new life. By starting a new life. Going back to Romans chapter 6, if you keep reading in verse 2, Paul says, how shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ, were baptized into His death, therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Newness of life is explained, I think, probably the best that it's explained anywhere, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28, where they're talking about the one that used to steal. Paul says, if you used to steal, don't steal anymore, but now instead work so that you might have to give to others. That's a 180 change, isn't it? Go from taking things that aren't yours to giving away things that are yours. We've got to live a new life if we're thankful to Christ. And finally, number four this morning, if we're thankful, then we need to go and tell others. We need to go and tell others. We don't need to be thankful and then keep it to ourselves. We don't need to, as that song says, that our KFC kids back in round one of quarantine, we were doing all the Zoom classes, and we had this little light of mine. We were going to let it shine. We were going to hide it under a bushel, and then the loudest you ever hear them getting, no! We We're not going to hide it. We're not going to let Satan blow it out. But we're not going to hide it. We're not going to let other people not be aware of our thankfulness. If we're going to follow that song, that kid's song, but a very good song, except when I'm leading it. It's another story for another time. But if we're going to follow that thought, we're going to go and tell others about what the Lord has done in our life. Luke chapter 8 and verse 39, Jesus had healed a demon-possessed man. The man begged Jesus to let him follow him. The man begged the Lord, said, "Let me go with you." But Jesus sent him away and instead said, "Return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you." And he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. Church, if you want to put your thankfulness into action, I hope you can find something from our lesson today to help you along the way. It's all things that you can do even as you're trying to stay away from other people. It's all things you can do from inside of your own house. You got a telephone, you can make phone calls. There's people that are at home that are feeling sad with the weather and the darkness and so on and so forth. Make phone calls to each other. Talk to one another. Talk to the people we haven't talked to in a while. Encourage them. Lift them up. Tell them the things that you're thankful for. Don't be overly negative. But find a way to put your thankfulness into action. This morning, if you've never put on Christ in baptism for the remission of your sins, I would submit that you're not living, don't be mad at me, but I'd submit to you that you're not living a life that shows your thankfulness for the sacrifice of the Lord. I mean, God sent His Son to die on the cross. He died for you and for I. If we haven't taken part in that invitation, we're not being thankful for the sacrifice that He made. And so if you're here this morning, you need to put on Christ in baptism for the remission of your sins, the baptistry is ready. We can do that today. But if you're here this morning as one that became a Christian in the past, but you're no longer living the life that would be pleasing to the Lord, don't leave here today that same way. Change your life for the better. Give your life back to the Lord. Put your thankfulness into action today. If we can help you in any way, please come while we stand and sing.